Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do ask this evening that You would open our hearts and minds to Your Word once again today. Lord, help us to take it and be doers and not hearers. And these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Now, just to give you a little back, Paul was in Athens. Corinth is right across from Athens. I didn't do the map thing tonight, but it is right across from there. Paul leaves there. He is waiting, by the way, for Silas and Timothy. He goes and he leaves. He said, after these things, now, let me back up. Some people actually say that Paul left Athens because there wasn't hardly any converts. But I'm not going to go with that. Because it said some believed and some followed. And so I'm not going to say that the preaching wasn't too good there. I'm just going to say, hey, the Lord led him to go to Corinth. So after these things, verse 1... Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius, that's Caesar, had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, they finally showed up. It says, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Now, I'm just going to stop right there and I'm just going to say it this way. It's laid on my heart to preach messages Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever other time I need to go preach a message. But sometimes it's pressed upon me to tell people about Jesus. Just nothing else. Just tell people about Jesus. What Jesus did. You know, he was on this earth for, 33 years? Shed his blood for my sins, for your sins. I'll say it again, as the sign says, it wasn't nails that held him up on the cross. It was the love he has for us that held him on that cross. Had nothing to do with the nails. He could have left at any time. He could have given up at any time. He could have said, hey, Father, forget it all. Let them die in their sins. I'm out of here. And it would have been that simple. But he didn't. He stayed there. So when I read this part about Paul, it says he got fired up and he wanted to preach about Jesus. And he preached to the Jews. And he told them, listen, you people, you got it all wrong. You live in this mess, Moses, the law and all of this is done. It's about Jesus. It's about Him dying on the cross. It's about us trusting the Lord as our Savior. And it says, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he done something that is very scary, by the way. And I've actually done this one time. But he says, when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. from thenceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Now, he did go into the synagogue in Ephesus, but Paul really and truly, he got fed up. He was preaching to the Jews. Everywhere you read, he'd go in, he'd preach to the Jews about Jesus. He got fired up with these guys. He told them, he said, listen, you're going to die and go to hell, even though you're from Abraham, even though you're following the Ten Commandments, and all the other laws they had. He says, it's all about believing in Jesus. And they got angry with it, blasphemed, they laughed at him, no doubt. They said, get out of here. And Paul stepped out and shook his raiment. In other words, you've heard, he dusted their feet. He says, I'm done with it. I'm not going to waste my time on you any longer. And he turned away. He said, I'm going to the Gentiles. There's been some people that the Lord's laid it on my heart to really, really preach to really present the gospel to. And then all of a sudden, it was like the Lord says, okay, you're done with them. You're wasting your time. Move on. And man, that is not easy to do. It's not that I'm going to turn my back on them. It's not that I'm going to be ugly to them from now on. I'm not going to speak to them. That ain't nothing to do with it. It's just the Lord's backed me up and said, hey, you've given them the opportunity. You've showed them and talked to them and preached to them about Jesus. Now let me take care of it this way. The problem is God taking care of it that way sometimes is a scary situation. I had two that come to mind. They were really giving grief to me and to my wife and in the church. And I finally just prayed. I said, you know what? And I stood up in front of her one night and I said, I'm done. I said, I'm going to let God take care of it. I want you to know in less than 2 weeks, both of them were in prison for car theft, forgery of checks. It turned bad. Since then, I've heard that one got it together and got it right and is in church now. I don't know because I'm not back in that part of the country, but that's what I've been told. But you know, that's what happened to Paul. Paul got to that point fed up. He got to that point of, you know what, I'm wasting my time here, and the Lord laid it on his heart and he backed off. But I want to back up just a hair and mention these two people again. Aquila and Priscilla. Now, I don't know if Aquila and Priscilla got saved under Paul's preaching. They may have been saved before that. But what you see in these two are unity. Everywhere, by the way, that Aquila is mentioned, you see Priscilla. They're always together. They're husband and wife. They're always together wherever they're at doing the Lord's work. We're going to skip a bunch of verses real quick. Go over to verse 18. It says, and Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. And it says, having shorn his head in Cenchreae, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus. Now, by the way, he was in Corinth about a year and a half. Right there, somewhere around about verse 7, 8, 9, right in there, he actually wrote he wrote the letter of 1 Thessalonians. But it says he went to Ephesus, they went with him. Now, Apollos had been in Corinth, but Paul hadn't met Apollos yet. And he says, and he came to Ephesus, verse 19, and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they desired him to tarry longer, time with them, he consented not. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. By the way, God didn't will that. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all his disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man. I like that. I had a guy tell me one time, you're an eloquent man. And I'm like, really? I don't even know what it means. I went home and looked it up. But anyway, I had on my boots and my scarf, and I don't know, it was a guy named Pino. He was a super funny fellow to talk with, but full of a lot of info too. And mighty in scriptures came to Ephesus. This guy, Apollos, he was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the scriptures and he was preaching, but he had a problem. And we're going to see what his problem was. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. In other words, he didn't have the whole story. He didn't have the fact that Jesus had died on the cross and that now we're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he wasn't teaching quite correctly. He was leaving a main thing out. And it says, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him and scolded him and said, you're doing it all wrong. No, that ain't what they did. It said, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. But, you know, that's an interesting story of how this man was fired up about God, and he had been with John the Baptist at some point, and man, he was out there spreading the word. But Aquila and Priscilla, they worked together. They were husband and wife. They were tent makers, just like Paul was. They lived together with Paul for a while. And every time you read about them, they are together and they're working with the Lord. You know how it is, how important it is for me that my wife works beside me in everything I do. It is. It's important that my wife is willing to do that. She is willing to stand beside me. She is willing to go where I go. If I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and have to go to a hospital, she gets up right along with me, gets dressed and goes. And that's an important thing in our lives that... Now, I'm going to stretch out a little further than just spouses, but just to mention right this minute, it's important that spouses work together with each other, not against each other. Because if we're working against each other, what are we getting accomplished? Nothing. And especially, well, you can use that in the home, you can use that financial realm, you can use that... In a lot of realms, but the main one I'm talking about is in the ministry. If she didn't agree with me, if she didn't agree with what I teach in the Bible, and if me and her didn't have that common ground of salvation, then there's going to be a problem. Not to mention people see it. Now, and be honest, who has seen when I come in that me and her ain't getting along? Come on, raise your hand. All right, yeah, you've seen it. Because you can see it in me. I'm mad at her. She's mad at me. We butted heads on something. And trust me, it wasn't Bible. But nonetheless, there's been a few times it usually involved one of her three kids. Because they get that away. One of her three. When they're good, they're ours. But, you know, when you look at Aquila and Priscilla, they done everything together. And really and truly, that's what we need in the ministry. Not just husband and wives, but we need as a whole, as a church, to agree and do things together and have that unity. But more so in the home, you need that unity, because I'm going to tell you who it shows up in. For one, it'll show up in the husband for sure. But the other one will show up in all these little kids you see around here. You see, I can see the little kids, and I'm just about tell you by their reactions how your Sunday morning's been. When they show up, I can look at them and it's like, yeah, mom and dad ain't getting along too good, are they? It does. It shows up in those guys whether we like it or not. It really does. It'll show up in one or two of us because we all got that fake smile. Everybody can see that fake smile. Yeah, I'm going to get it later. Yeah, we're doing good, brother. We're just smiling. You know, but really and truly, it is so important that spouses work together with each other. They need to come to that working together, that understanding, and being in the same boat. And by the way, paddling in the same direction. We got in a canoe one time. We got in a canoe one time. She's paddling, and I'm paddling, and we're doing this. In for in, and it's like, wait a minute. I said, quit paddling. Just let me do it. Because she's in the front. Besides, it makes me feel better when I'm, you know, Daniel Boone, going down through there, cruising her along. And when I get off course, it'd be like, oh, I'm just getting a little closer to the bank. You're fighting at it, you know. But you got to look good. Go over there. I thought I saw a mink. But anyway. So it's important that we work together as a husband and wife. But even so, as a church, it's important that we all get along. They're an excellent example of a church. We need to all get along with each other and all, we're going to have our little every now and then. That just happens. We're people, right? Yeah. Destiny's going. Yep. You're going to have that. If you show me a couple that ain't never argued, and I'll show you some two liars. They've argued over something at some point. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that. They might tell you they ain't, but somebody's lying. Yeah, you can't put two people together for that long and they don't argue over something. They're going to argue. But make sure you get that right. All right. Now, I love what they did with, what's the dude's name there? Apollos. I like what they did with him because he was doing what he thought was right. He was doing basically what he had been taught. And he was spreading the word, but, you know, they didn't approach him in front of everybody. They took him to the side, and it says they explained it to him better. They showed him a better way. In other words, they explained to him, listen, Jesus has come. Jesus died on the cross. He's raised from the dead. When we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they helped him. And then it says when he left, that they wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. In other words, hey, this guy's got it together, not to mention He is very bold with it. And he's willing to just go out there at it. He wasn't that shy. You know how some of us, we're like... Now, I stepped aside because I know people shoot through the door. But, no. You know, sometimes it's, oh, when you're out visiting, it's like... and you... You know, you don't want to... No, you need to knock on the door because, listen, you're going to face them. It's okay. They're not going to bite you. If they did, they probably had your shots. But, you know, they showed him a better way. He was a bold person. And it says, verse 28, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, he didn't hide it, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. You know, that's a blessing that they had it together enough as a couple that they could sit with this man and expound to him the way that he was missing, what he was missing. And doesn't say there was any arguments. Not that I see. All right, let's back up a hair now because I wanted to get to those. Now it says, where did I leave off earlier? Oh, verse 7. Now we're going to go all the way down. Yeah, let's go to verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justice, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Now he just left the synagogue. He said, all right, I'm done with you guys. Now he's in a house that's right on the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. In other words, they started a little mission there. They got it going. That's the church of Corinth that had some serious issues later. It says, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. It says, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. There was another guy that was preaching one time, and he was like, oh, it's only me. And come to find out, there was, I want to say 7,000 of the Lord's people. Elijah. Elijah, oh, it's only me. Just go ahead, take me on. I'm standing all alone, Lord. You know, and he's like, nah, I got a bunch more. That's what he told Paul. He said, Paul, speak up. Go tell these people about the Lord. I've got a lot of people in this city. That makes you feel better. When you get to thinking you're the only one, there's somebody else. There really is. And it said he continued there for a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. I don't want to go into 19 tonight, so we're going to stop here. But you know, out of everything that we've talked about tonight, the main important part that the Lord really laid on my heart was Aquila and Priscilla. The unity that they had, the willingness to serve. Like I said, I don't know whether or not they were Christians to start with before they met the Apostle Paul. The Bible doesn't say they were. It says they were in Italy, and it says Claudius run them out because they were Jews. Not because they were Christian, because they were Jews. And he sent them out. They may have gotten saved through Paul's preaching. It doesn't say. But nonetheless, they got on fire for the Lord, and they come together, and the Lord used them in a mighty way. That's what we've got to have in the world today, whether you're just in the church, whether you're a deacon, whether you're a missionary, or a pastor, or you just preach the word, you need the backing of your spouse. It makes life a whole lot easier. It makes it a whole lot easier for me to do what I do. You know what I do when I get home? Either on the way home or when I get to the house, I'll just say, "How was it today?" And she'll look at me and she'll hesitate. And I'll say, That tells me something. Or she'll say, "Oh, honey, that was a good sermon." You know, it helps me. But she also corrects me on a lot of stuff. Like when I say, "Done did, done it." She'll let me know, "You can't do that," or "I done seen it." She said, "You ain't done seen it, you saw it." You know, she helps me with all that stuff. That's why I'm so sophisticated talking sometimes. Yeah, eloquent. That's it. That's why I'm so eloquent, because of my wife. But, you know, it really is important that we're all, as a whole, that we're all going in the same boat and we're all sailing in the same direction. Whether it's husband and wife or whether it's church, that's what we need to be doing. Let's stand. We'll have an invitation.